radio.
Have you ever had those days where you get up in the morning and you feel on top of the world and you say, oh, who's that guy in the mirror? Or, hey, how you going? Looking good there? Or maybe more likely you've got those days where you get in there and say, who's that? I'm not him again. I can't bear him. I'm going to brush my teeth somewhere else. Sometimes you have more good days, sometimes more bad days. But whatever it is, no matter how many bad days we have, there's still other sufferings in our life as well. We could have our own illness, sickness, stress of work or daily pressures, family, relationship issues, or whatever it happens to be, maybe even the grief of the loss of a loved one. We always have this suffering in our lives. Now, in the last century in America, there was a big movement throughout all the Protestant churches, which is called the prosperity gospel. Now, the idea of the prosperity gospel is basically the more suffering you have, the worse you're going in life, the less God loves you, the less good you're doing, you've got to repent and fix yourself up. The better you're doing, the more joy you have is clearly the more God loves you, the better you're doing, you're a good Christian. But this is clearly not the case. It's a false doctrine. What did Jesus himself say? Pick up your cross daily and follow me. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they should be comforted. And he said, if they're going to do this to me, crucify me, who's your master, what are they going to do to you, my disciples? Expect suffering. So he even warned us that they're going to come. The question is, what do we do when the suffering does come? A normal part of our daily lives in this fallen world. The world says, okay, do two things. Okay, you're suffering, inflict it upon everyone else and let them know how badly you're doing, is one. Secondly, distract yourself as much as possible and just stuff it down, repression. That's the other option. And usually if we repress everything, it usually blows up in everyone's face sometime anyway. Now, there are various ways of repressing. Alcoholism, to go to the extremes, going on drugs, increasing number of young people now are self-harming, cutting themselves to cope with the suffering. But then there's what we consider normal ways of dealing and coping. Get a few beers and sit in front of the footy, distract ourselves. Lots of chocolate ice cream and a few chick flicks. Whatever it is. Workaholism. This distracts ourselves from what we're facing day to day. But what do we do? What should we do as Christians? We come to the book of Job, our first reading today. Now, Job is the book of suffering. Job was a very wealthy man. He was like the Bill Gates of his day. Everybody knew about him. And in one day, he lost everything. His children, his land, his possessions, and he was left with nothing but a nagging wife. Why are you laughing at that for? Poor Job. As he tries to get back on his feet, his very body's afflicted and he gets suffering and covered with boils and sores. His wife says to him, look what you've been reduced to. Curse God and die. But what is his response? Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you say, oh, it's all hunky-dory, it's fine. It didn't. His friends came to him, three of his mates, and said, look, you must have done something wrong because God's cursed you. Repent and you'll be better. Prosperity gospel, here we go. What does Job do? I've done nothing wrong. I'm suffering, I don't know why, but tell you what I'm going to do. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord, but he's going to cop an earful at the same time. I'm going to have a good whinge to him. And he does. He spends 50 chapters of the book of Job. This first reading, that's all it is. A big complaint, a big rant to God. What does this do? People are like, why bother tell God? He already knows. Why don't I just tell him to fix me up and he'll fix it? Why? Because God is not a vending machine God. He's not our divine vending machine. I rack up, put enough prayers in and he like out pops the Coke. This will fix you up, make you better. He is our divine friend. And what brings friends together more than shared suffering? I don't remember much of Harry Potter, which I read like 15 years ago, but Harry Potter, the first book, one of the lines I still remember, after the three friends have gone through some problems, there's a line which says, Nobody can go through such terrible things together and not be good friends afterwards. And they're the good friends for the rest of the 7, 8 books. How many books? I don't even know. So this is what God wants for us. We have our sufferings and often doesn't take it away. But he wants us to share them with him like Job does and fasten our friendship together. We're going to hit it, some stage or another, whatever it is. The saints called it the dark night, St. John of the Cross, the dark night of the senses, and then for the great saints, the dark night of the soul. There's Peter, Peter Schizero. Peter Schizero, some Italian author, he's the author of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. He has a whole chapter, and he calls it the wall. We hit this wall, this thing of suffering. I've seen new Catholics or Catholics just come into their faith. They have almost like a honeymoon period for about a year or however long it is. And then suddenly they hit this wall. It always happens again and again. And sometimes they fall away. They run away and distract themselves. And sometimes what we do, we go through that wall. We enter into that suffering with our Lord. And what happens? He takes us through the resurrection. This is the very thing that the gospel is talking about. It comes to resurrection. When I got back from holidays, I had an amazing holiday. I spent the first 9 days down in Tasmania for Immaculata Mission School. It's like a retreat summer camp. 150 young people. Being chaplain to that is puts you on top of the world. Really boosts your spirits. And then after that, I walked for 2 weeks with Crossroads. They're actually in the Catholic Weekly this weekend. They're in the Leader, front page of the Leader 2 weeks ago. They're a pro-life group that walk from Brisbane to Melbourne. So I walked the first 2 weeks to Sydney. It was amazing because I got some exercise, but mainly I had no responsibilities on me. I had got to spend 2 weeks with a great bunch of guys, no responsibilities. Oh, it was just bliss. And then I got back to the parish. I was dunked in cold water. Here's all your responsibilities back. But the blessing I had, usually what I suffer from the most is I'll turn to workaholism, keep myself busy and distract myself. But I came back on Australia Day. Nothing was happening. And so I had the blessing of spending the day with our Lord and getting to complain to him about what he had just thrown me back into. And the blessing that weekend, last weekend, to come into the Sunday Masses, it was just, he gave me such a joy to be back in the parish again. So if we enter the suffering, only a small suffering, this one, this example, but if we enter in, he takes us through and brings us to the resurrection. The gospel, what happens? It's a Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath. Jesus leaves the synagogue. He comes to Simon Andrew's house. And what's there? Their suffering mother-in-law. As evening approaches, he takes her, he lifts her up. What's the Greek word they use? He raises her back up as he heals her. The same word used for the resurrection of Jesus himself. And then that sundown, that Sunday day starting, all the sick, all those who are suffering come to him. And the next morning, he spends it in prayer. Now, scholars say this is a prefiguring of our Sabbath, the Sunday rest. What does that mean? In our lives, often we try and escape suffering. We think it's a curse from God. We don't see it as a blessing. We try and distract ourselves. And in the business of our lives, we rarely have time to stop and really process and talk to God about it. But the Sabbath, the Sunday, is a gift from God where he says, no, this day you can stop. You can come to me as all the sick and all the people afflicted came to me and I will heal you. Share your burdens with me and celebrate our divine friendship.
As a free, not-for-profit service, Cradio requires the support of people like you to help keep us going in our mission. To donate, visit cradio.org.au/donate.